भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 17 टेक्स्ट नंबर 34-35। तस्य चायं महाभागः चित्रकेतु प्रियोनुगः सर्वत्र समदृक्षान्तो हि अहं चैवाच्युत प्रिय तस्मान्न विस्मयः कार्य पुरुषेषु महात्मसु महापुरुषभक्तेषु शान्तेषु समदर्शिषु तस्य जाया रिलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। दिस मैग्नानिमस चित्रकेतु इज अ डियर डिवोटी ऑफ द लॉर्ड। He is equal to all living entities and is free from attachment and hatred. Similarly, I am also very dear to Lord Narayan. Therefore, no one should be astonished to see the activities of the most exalted devotees of Narayan, for they are free from attachment and envy. They are always peaceful and they are equal to everyone. Purport. It is said, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyeha Na Bujhaye. One should not be astonished to see the activities of exalted, liberated Vaishnavas, as one should not be misled by the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should also not be misled by the activities of His devotees. Both the Lord and His devotees are liberated. They are on the same platform, the only difference being that the Lord is the master and the devotees are servants. Qualitatively, they are one and the same. In Bhagavad Gita 9:29, the Lord says, Samoham sarabhuteshu name dveshyosti na priyah ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. From this statement by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is clear that the devotees of the Lord are always extremely dear to him. In effect, Lord Shiva told Parvati, both Chitraketu and I are always very dear to the Supreme Lord. In other words, both he and I are on the same level as servants of the Lord. We are always friends and sometimes we enjoy joking words between us. When Chitraketu loudly laughed at my behavior, he did so on friendly terms, and therefore there was no reason to curse him. Thus Lord Shiva tried to convince his wife Parvati that her cursing of Chitraketu was not very sensible. Here is the difference between male and female that exists even in higher statuses of life. In fact, even between Lord Shiva and his wife. Lord Shiva could understand Chitraketu very nicely, but Parvati could not. Thus, even in the higher statuses of life, there is a difference between understanding of a male and that of a female. It may be clearly said that the understanding of a woman is always inferior to the understanding of a man. In the Western countries, there is no agitation to the effect that man and woman should be considered equal. But from this verse, it appears that woman is always less intelligent than man. It is clear that Chitraketu wanted to criticize the behavior of his friend Lord Shiva because Lord Shiva was sitting with his wife on his lap. Then too, Lord Shiva wanted to criticize Chitraketu for externally posing as a great devotee but being interested in enjoying with the Vidyadhari women. These were all friendly jokes. There was nothing serious for which Chitraketu should have been cursed by Parvati. Upon hearing the instructions of Lord Shiva, Parvati must have been very much ashamed for cursing Chitraketu to become a demon. Mother Parvati could not appreciate Chitraketu's position. and therefore she cursed him. But when she understood the instructions of Lord Shiva, she was ashamed. So we will discuss on the non-controversial part of the purport more. And Prabhupada basically is emphasizing on how a devotee is free from any kind of attachment and envy. That's what the verse says. Free from attachment and envy, always peaceful and equal to everyone. So, this particular aspect of a devotee's behavior is very important. A devotee is extremely compassionate, and the reason for his compassion is he is devoid of any kind of material desires. In the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, at the very beginning, as we are going to now approach the 7th canto very soon, and right in the very first chapter, when Narad Muni is describing about Hiranyakashipu, so having described how different demons, they enter into hellish planets, so Narad Muni brings up this particular verse. He says, Hiranyakashipu chapi bhagavat nindaya tama vivikshor atyagat suno prahladas chanubhavata. So, he says that Hiranyakashipu cha api, that just like other demons, they enter into hell because of blaspheming the Lord. Bhagavat nindaya tama. So the result of blaspheming Krishna or going against the Supreme Lord is definitely entrance into hell. Bhagavat nindaya tama. So tama means hell. But then vivikshor means to enter. So Hiranyakashipu was very eager to enter into hell. And it is a sarcastic way of saying that Hiranyakashipu was eagerly attempting to enter into hell. He was making all his efforts to go into hell. That means if anyone blasphemes the Lord, then this is the destination which is guaranteed. So viviksho means entrance. So therefore practically everything was arranged for him to enter into hell. But there was a change. And why? Prahladas cha anubhavata. Because of the influence of his son Prahlad, he could not enter into hell. It's like he's making a kind of a sarcastic remark or ironic statement that Hiranyakashipu had planned his life perfectly so that he could enter into hell, but somehow his plans were foiled and he could not fulfill his desire of entering into hell. Why? Because of the intervention of his son Prahlada. Cha anubhavata. So bhava means existence. So bhava or bhava means existence, and anubhava means to follow someone's existence. That means Prahladas cha anubhavata means Prahlad, by his influence, because of what he was, he had a certain influence on others around him, including his father. And that is the meaning of personality or influence, that a person affects others around him. And then simply by that association, others also start getting the similar quality. Others' existence is transformed by the presence of someone. So therefore, Prahladascha Anubhavata means that Prahlad, by his great personality, Vaishnava qualities, and just by what he was, he created such an influence that ultimately Hiranyakashipu, such a big demon, could not go to hell. And he also was delivered. So, because this conversation between Yudhishthira Maharaj and Narad Muni is just beginning, Narad Muni is creating suspense about what is going to happen and, you know, what exactly happened. So therefore this anubhava means creating influence, and a devotee is very expert in first of all creating great influence over his own life by transforming his heart. And then once his heart is transformed and devotee becomes Krishna conscious, anyone who comes in contact with such a devotee also becomes influenced in a certain way. The effect is definitely there. Therefore, Krishna means all attractive. And Krishna consciousness means, Prabhupada defines in one place, Krishna consciousness means offering all attractive things to Krishna. So all attractive things normally would attract us as conditioned souls because we have the tendency to enjoy. So because I have this tendency of being the proprietor and enjoyer, I get attracted to various attractive things. And to the extent I offer all kinds of attractive objects, sense objects and other items to Krishna, to that extent I am being selfless and devoted. Just like, for example, if somebody is working in a bank, then whatever money comes, he deposits in the bank. He offers in the account of the bank. So if somebody gives 10 rupees, he puts it. Somebody gives 100 rupees, 1000 rupees. So whoever is the bank employee, he transfers everything to the bank account. And then the amount goes on increasing. And it goes up to 1 lakh, then 10 lakh, a crore, 10 crores, 100 crores. Now initially when someone deposits 10 rupees, then the employee may not be so much attracted. Because from his point of view it is nothing. But when the amount goes to 100 crores, then that's a very attractive proposal. And therefore at such a point his integrity is really under question. To what extent he is really a person of high character and integrity and honesty. And then in spite of all kinds of attractive amounts being deposited, he is still able to transfer everything to the bank without claiming anything for himself. To that extent, he is glorious. He is honest. Therefore, initially, we are able to give up various kinds of insignificant sense objects. And each person has a unique kind of attraction to a unique set of sense objects. So therefore, we may be able to give up attraction to few sense objects, but then there may be other types of attractive features which may trap us. And then, when in spite of being tested to the fullest, when we are able to offer everything to Krishna, and a devotee is uncompromisingly honest, then to that extent he is considered to be Krishna conscious. And when a devotee is able to offer everything 100% in the pure stages of devotion to Krishna, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va, jagadisha kamai. The great devotees, the great Vaishnavas, who are able to offer everything to Krishna, 100%. Everything attractive is offered to Krishna, nothing is held back. Then such devotees become supremely empowered. And this is a law of empowerment. That to that extent we try to hold back things for ourselves, to that extent Krishna will hold back his empowerment. And to the extent we offer to Krishna, to that extent we become empowered. And so today is the auspicious disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami. And I wanted to speak something for my purification and for the glorification of this most exalted Vaishnava Acharya. And all of us are known as Rupanuga. So I would like to speak from one chapter from Madhya Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita, about how Rupa Goswami, how the Lord instructs Rupa Goswami. So Srila Rupa Goswami, in this particular chapter, we can see three aspects of his personality. First is his surrender to the Lord. Second is his service to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And third aspect is his character. And we would like to glorify Srila Rupa Goswami in this manner. So, Kaviraj Goswami describes, Dvi bhai vishetyager upaya srijila bahudhana diya dvi brahmane varila. That Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami employed two brahmins to perform yajna. And the purpose of this yajna, it is described, was dui bhai vishaya tyager, that both Rupa and Sanatana Goswami wanted to renounce their material opulence. And in order to fulfill this desire, how to become renunciant, how to give up all our money, they employed these two brahmins. And therefore, bahu dhana diya, dui brahmane varila. And these brahmanas were offered tremendous amount of wealth and money. And then the whole purpose was, let us become renounced. So normally people conduct yajna to get more opulence. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were probably the first ones in history giving money to the brahmanas that make sure we lose all our money. Do your yajna and pray in such a way that ultimately we are able to attain Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. Therefore, we can see that material energy tests us in various ways. And to the extent we are able to tolerate the influence of these attractions, we are able to advance in Krishna consciousness. Just like it is described that one has various kinds of anarthas. One of the anarthas is considered dushkrita uttha anartha. Anartha acquired from previous sins. Second type of anartha is called aparadha uttha anartha. That anartha is acquired because of committing offenses. And a third type of anartha is called sukrita uttha anartha. Anarthas acquired because of previous piety, because of sukriti. And that manifests in the form of getting wealth, education, beauty, high family. And all of this become cause of distraction and deviation in Krishna consciousness. So that is considered sukrita uttha anartha. So here Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they are born in the highest family and they are extremely attractive. And also they are very wealthy. But they are demonstrating, they are eternal associates of the Lord from the spiritual world. So they are demonstrating the ideal example of how one should conduct one's life. So they are leading their life by first of all giving up their attachment to material wealth, to position, to prestige. And in this way, Rupa Goswami takes a boat and he loads several boats filled with riches. It is said that Rupa Goswami had so much of gold, and all of this gold he loaded in these boats. And 50% he gave to the Brahmana Vaishnavas and 25% to his relatives and family, and another 25% he kept for contingency and to allow the escape of Sanatana Goswami. And in this way, he divided his wealth like this. So you can imagine, 7 boats filled with gold biscuits. Not Parle biscuits. Gold biscuits. Such gold. Who can become detached? But just giving up everything and going away. So it is very, very difficult to do this. So it is only possible by the Lord's mercy. As it is described, one Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was giving a lecture on detachment. How one should be detached from material life. One should be detached from material sense gratification and sense objects. And then it so happened that after this lecture, he went back to his room, and in his study, he was writing some articles. And then suddenly, a monkey ran into the godown, and the godown was next to his study. And the godown was filled with bananas. So the monkey pulled out one banana, a bunch of few bananas, and ran away. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he immediately jumped up from his study desk and took his stick and started chasing this monkey. And then while he got up and he was running, because of his movement, even the table was upturned and the pot of ink which was kept on top fell off. And whatever he was writing, that became smudged. And then he chased this monkey, and finally showing the monkey the stick, he scared him and retrieved the banana. So there was one devotee, he was watching this whole thing, and he came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and said, "You just gave, you know, big lecture on being detached from material things, and then suddenly we see that monkey is running away with one banana, and you are so agitated that you are running behind him, and at the cost of dropping the ink on your desk and everything. What is this? Why did you do this?" So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur replied that these bananas belong to Radharani, and therefore I cannot allow it to be stolen by anyone, and therefore I was chasing him. And then he quoted Srila Rupa Goswami's famous verse that anasaktasya vishayan yataram puyunjuta nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagyam uchyate. That anything material which is used in Krishna's service is ultimately spiritual and it has a purifying effect. So therefore Srila Rupa Goswami, he gave the world this concept of yukta vairagya, of utilizing everything in Krishna's service. But personally, considering the mission which he had, he was inspired to give up everything and take shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Rupa Goswami was the person who coined this verse. But he decided that his life is meant for total 100% dedication to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this principle is very important. And therefore, Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam Jihuva Vegam Udaro Pastha Vegam. So Srila Rupa Goswami in this verse mentions that it is not that one's advancement is measured by how he is free from any of these vegas, but yo vishaheta dhira, how one is able to tolerate the influence of these urges. So therefore, one may have certain urges, but if one is able to tolerate these urges, then he is considered to be a dhira. And an interesting part in this shloka is jihuva vegam udara upastha vegam. So I was always wondering, what is this upastha? Udara upastha. So upastha actually means near. Upa means Upanishad, coming near, situated near. So he's using very cultured and euphemistic language in describing the genitals, because it is not very polite and cultured to say genitals. So therefore he's using the word that which is near to the stomach. Jihuva vegam udara upastha vegam. One who can control the tongue, the belly, and that which is near to the belly. So anyone who is on this path will understand what it means. So Srila Rupa Goswami, having given up all of this wealth, ultimately he comes to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Prayag, and he decides to dedicate himself. And so both Srila Rupa Goswami and Anupam's brother, they meet they see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in great transcendental ecstasy, chanting and dancing in the midst of hundreds and thousands of people in Prayag. So Kaviraj Goswami describes that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting and dancing, tears of ecstasy were flowing from his eyes. Ganga Jamuna Prayag Narila Dubaite Prabhu Dubaila Krishna Premera Banyate. That the Ganga and Jamuna in Prayag was not inundating the city, but Lord was inundating the whole of Prayag by performing his Harinama Sankirtan. Prabhu Dubaila Krishna Premera Banyate. By his Krishna Prema, he was inundating the whole city of Prayag. And in this way, people were in great transcendental ecstasy. And then, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is staying at the house of the Deccan Brahman. And Rupa Goswami and Anupam, they come to meet the Lord at this place. And this principle is very interesting, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just by being there and performing this Harinam Sankirtan, he makes the place extremely purified. So great souls, wherever they visit, they convert that place into a Tirtha. Tirthi kurvanti tirthani so antasthena gadabrata. For example, Haridas Thakur, he stayed for a very short time at the place where he was tested by this prostitute. And then that place is now known as Haridaspur. That is the influence of a devotee. That simply by being present for a short time, but because he is engaged in such exalted activity, he has such an effect and influence that even that very short association is glorified for eternity. So now Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sees both Rupa Goswami and Anupam in front of him. And Kaviraj Goswami describes, Dui guchhatruna duhe doshane dhurya, Prabhu dekhi dure pade dandabat hoya. They have straw between their teeth and they offer their obeisances to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from a great distance with utter humility. So in one place, Srila Prabhupada defines humility as vision of reality. When we understand what is our insignificance, when we understand what exactly is the position of Krishna and what is the position of me as a soul. So therefore, when a person understands his insignificant condition, then he is able to offer everything to Krishna. And therefore, the whole Varnashram system was designed in such a way that ultimately one goes through Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. And the whole idea of Sannyas means renunciation. So renunciation of possessions and renunciation of the ego. So step one is renunciation of possessions. But more difficult is renunciation of the ego. So having renounced all of his possessions, now Srila Rupa Goswami is coming and offering himself and submitting himself and expressing his desire to just follow the Lord's will. And this kind of renunciation is most important. Just like one of our sannyasis wrote a nice diary on his Vrindavan experiences. And in that he mentions meeting one sadhu, one Babaji in Vrindavan. And he was expressing to him that how he has now that was his 51st birthday. So this Babaji was telling him that 51 is very good. 50 is very dangerous. Till 50, there is lot of danger. But after 51, it is safe. Said why? Well, if 50 means 50. 50 means still there is as. There is asha. There are still desires. And ikka 1 means you are ready for 1. to go to the forest. Ikkavan. So then therefore he said, so this is a safe age. So ultimately, Prahlad Maharaj tells Hiranyakashipu, Vanam Gato, that go to the forest. And Prabhupada explains in that purport, that forest means the forest of Vrindavan. And Srila Rupa Goswami is now surrendering everything and coming to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to direct him to Vrindavan. Like Mahanadi Maharaj was expressing one realization that he had a Brajavasi friend. And this Brajavasi friend, he belonged to the Nimarka Sampradaya. And then he got a dream. And in the dream he saw that Mahanadi Maharaj was meeting with his own Guru Maharaj. So both were having a meeting. And he saw that in the dream. So he went to his spiritual master. This Babaji went to his spiritual master and asked him that I saw this meeting in the dream. To what extent this dream is valid? So this devotee from Vrindavan, he gave a very nice reply. He said that in Vrindavan, even a dream is reality. And outside Vrindavan, every so-called reality is a dream. So therefore, the ultimate purpose of the human form of life is to situate oneself in Krishna consciousness. And that is Vrindavan consciousness. That means one is constantly thinking about how to serve Krishna, how to please Krishna. And in this way, once we develop the desire to offer ourselves to Krishna, then Krishna accepts everything. So here, Srila Rupa Goswami is offering himself at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completely. Nana shloka padi uthe pade bar bar Prabhu dekhi premavesha hoila duhar. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw these two personalities, they were chanting various verses glorifying the Lord. Nana shloka padi. They were chanting these verses and they had fallen at the Lord's lotus feet and glorifying the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became filled with ecstasy on seeing Srila Rupa Goswami's surrender. So Kaviraj Goswami says, Sri Rupa dekhiya prabhur prasanna hoila man, utha utha rupa aisa bolila vachan. So Lord Chaitanya's heart was filled with great joy. And he told Srila Rupa Goswami that please get up. Please get up. I don't want to see you like this. And then he explains to him, Krishnira karuna kichu na yaya barnan vishaya kupa hoite kadila doijan. He said, my dear Rupa Goswami and Anupam, you are so fortunate because you cannot imagine how merciful the Lord has been upon you. And he says, Krishnera karuna kichu nayaya varnan. One cannot explain the extent of Lord's mercy upon you. Why? One can appreciate the Lord's mercy by certain symptoms. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, what is this symptom which I am referring to? Vishay kupa hoite. You are fallen into the well of vishay, sense gratification. Having such a position in the kingdom of Nawab Hussain Shah, having so much of wealth, having so much facility for sense gratification, this deep dark well of vishay, kadila tomar duijan, somehow Krishna has pulled you out of this deep dark well, and therefore you are so very fortunate. So one of the very important principles in devotional service is gratitude. And gratitude in Sanskrit means kritagya. Kritagya. Gya means to know, to remember. So one of the meanings of gya means to remember. And krita means what someone has done. So to remember what someone has done for me, literally, that is kritagya. Therefore, a devotee is always grateful. He remembers what has been done for me. Just like recently at Gita Nagari, we were having a wonderful Samadhi opening ceremony for Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. And in that, many devotees were expressing their appreciation. And Radhanath Maharaj was expressing very beautifully that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj had association with Srila Prabhupada for maybe 7 years. And then he served Srila Prabhupada in separation for 27 years. And one can only do that when there is kritagyata. That means gratitude. One remembers what has been done for me. And therefore the whole theme in that talk was service in separation. And service in separation is possible only when there is affection and gratitude. And then he was mentioning that separation actually tests the quality and depth of one's love. And so Krishna also spent practically only a little more than a decade with the Brajavasis. And then for more than a century, plunged the Brajavasis in the depths of separation. But in separation from Krishna, the quality, the intensity of their dedication and service was never compromised. So when one's love and affection is superficial, then one is very active and dedicated in the presence of someone, but in the absence, one becomes casual. Therefore, separation tests the quality of one's love. So that was a very interesting point. And therefore, now this is a very important principle, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very soon going to give a mission and service to Srila Rupa Goswami and the other Goswamis. And if we see the whole life of the six Goswamis, they practically spent most of their lives in separation from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you see the works of the Goswamis, the kind of temples they have built, the kind of literature they have written, high quality work, high quality service was performed not in the physical association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but simply taking the instructions of Lord Chaitanya upon their head. They did this because they had a quality of love which was really deep. Tenho prema dhina tomar prema gadatar. Prataprutra Maharaj is told by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Abhasya koribena Krishna tomar upar. He says, my dear Prataprutra Maharaj, do not feel sad because Krishna is premadhim, he becomes overwhelmed by love, and the quality of your love is also very gadatar, is very deep. It is not superficial. It is of very high quality. And therefore, Rupa Goswami was perfectly authorized to write about bhakti and write about Anya Bhilashita Shunyam because his own life's example was a very wonderful dedication and offering to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Also in this same ceremony, our Anuttama Prabhu was making a very nice offering. And he gave a story about how one can actually create influence in society by creating communities. And someone was quoting Mahatma Gandhi. And Gandhiji made a statement that you can actually glorify a person not by making statue, but by creating a community that exemplifies the teachings of that person. So of course in India we find that more statues have been created after him. And many of his principles are not so much followed. So Srila Prabhupada also expected us to do the same thing. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this mission to Rupa Goswami. So on behalf of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami and the other Goswamis, they created a whole culture in Vrindavan, created the infrastructure and facility for devotees from all over to come together to practice Krishna consciousness, and gave immense literatures which acted as blueprint for how to practice bhakti for generations to come. And Anuttama Prabhu was making a nice point that it is these social networks which bring people in.
What really creates impact in preaching is not the philosophy so much, not the knowledge and information which we give so much, but when people see us, when people see a group, a social network, they also develop a desire, we want to be like them. I also want to be part of this. So when that spirit is created, then one really sees the impact of preaching. So he was giving the example of, he was saying that one of his most inspirational places is Robben Island in Africa. So he was saying, you may wonder, why not some holy Tirtha, holy Dham or this or that? What is so special about this Robben Island in Africa? He said, that is the place where Nelson Mandela was kept for years together, for decades together. And that particular island does not represent just the extent of human suffering, because he was in jail for several decades, but it actually explains how human perseverance can overcome human suffering. And therefore, I was so inspired when I went to that place that I actually collected a stone from that place. And I kept the stone in my bead bag. And when people see that stone, they ask me, what Shila is this? But for me, that represents the fact that although there can be difficulties, even for a mundane cause, there are people who are willing to persevere and struggle and go through all kinds of difficulties and challenges to ultimately achieve success. So therefore, how much more we should be willing to persevere and struggle for a spiritual mission which has been given by our exalted acharyas. And that is what all the six Goswamis represent. Vrindavan was an extremely difficult place, extremely challenging, but because they took Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, they persevered and they overcame all kinds of obstacles and established this culture. And they formed like the blueprint for this culture there. Another interesting feature I found out that the absence of culture many times leads to the downfall of many great civilizations. And there is an interesting story that the Greeks were very powerful at one point of time, and Plato and Socrates and all of these philosophers were flourishing. And then there was a war between Athens and Spartans, and the Spartans defeated Athens and took control, and the Greeks were totally overpowered and they lost. So Plato was in his fag end of his life, he was extremely old, and because he was a philosopher, he was introspecting. And then he tried to find out the causes for their downfall, how the Greeks lost to the Spartans, and how Athens became overrun by all of these other foreigners. And he noted that the Spartans were very powerful, they were armed very well in terms of military strength, their soldiers were well trained, but he said the most important reason was that in Greece, previously there was a culture of eating together, and now the Greeks were not eating together. And the Spartans would come together and eat together on a regular basis. And that was one of the reasons why they were so united, so strong and so powerful. And this was like a very, very bewildering point to me. Because just before Maharaj went to the West, he said, one of the important things you should do is come together and eat together. So at that time we were definitely convinced. But when I read this point from history, sometimes outside stories are more inspirational sometimes. You know, you feel, oh my God, this makes sense. And so we find that when we deviate, then we cannot sometimes imagine what effect and impact it will have on our lifestyle and our strength. So therefore, as a community, there are various activities which one is expected to do. And Srila Rupa Goswami and other Goswamis gave all the details of what Vaishnava community is supposed to follow and what are the standards for deity worship, lifestyle. Everything has been given by them. So now, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he sees Srila Rupa Goswami, glorifies him that you're so wonderful, so you're so advanced. And as soon as Rupa Goswami hears the Lord glorifying, he immediately expresses his fallen condition to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, with great humility, he begs the Lord to give him instructions. And then there is an interesting pastime with Vallabh Bhatt, because Vallabh Bhatt is a great Brahman who comes there. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees Vallabh Bhatt and glorifies Vallabh Bhatt. And then Rupa Goswami comes there, and Rupa Goswami is offering obeisances from a great distance. And Vallabh Bhatt is bewildered. He looks at Lord Chaitanya and says, why is he standing at that distance and offering obeisances? So, Rupa Goswami says, Asprishya Pamaram Vi Na Chuya Mure. I am untouchable, and therefore I am not, you know, qualified to come near you. So when Bhattacharya, when our Vallabh Bhatt hears this, he is very much astonished. But Lord Chaitanya is very pleased to see Rupa Goswami's humility. And then he looks at Bhattacharya, at Vallabh Bhatt and says, Iho nasparshya iho jati atihin vaidika yagika tumi kulina pravin. He tells Vallabh Bhatt, don't touch him, you know. This Rupa Goswami is untouchable. Iho nasparshya jati atihin. He is coming from very degraded background. You are kulina. You are born in very high family. You are very big Brahman. And yagika, you are expert in performing so many yagyas. And therefore, you should not be touching him. So this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's test. So in spiritual life, tests come without any, you know, information. That this is a test. Many times you realize after the event that this was a test. When the result came that you are failed, then you realize, oh, that was a test. So this was a test from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and immediately Vallabh Bhatt, he realizes this and he says, my dear Lord, you can't see like this, because I can see that both are constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna, how can they be fallen? So this Rupa Goswami is very advanced. He accepts this principle. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very pleased. So Prabhupada writes in these purports that more than being proud of one's fastidious position of being born in some family, what is most important is what is one's association and what are one's activities. And Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, although they were born in high families, they expressed themselves as fallen because they associated with those who were fallen from the Vedic culture. And thus, even Rupa and Sanatana Goswami established that association ultimately makes us what we are. So this principle is very, very important. And then it is described about, apart from the service which Rupa Goswami and all these other great acharyas performed, of creating these temples, writing these books, and the whole description is there about how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives instructions to Rupa Goswami. Krishna tattva, bhakti tattva, rasa tattva, pranta, sabha shikhaila prabhu, bhagavat siddhanta. This is what he taught Rupa Goswami and explained to him how he should write his books. Krishna tattva, bhakti tattva, rasa tattva. All of these tattvas and bhagavat siddhanta. This is what Srila Rupa Goswami expressed in his literatures. And this was his main mission and main service in Vrindavan. And along with that, a practical way of worshipping Krishna in making these most beautiful, wonderful temples. And the beauty was, he explained all of these things in very, very simple language for people to understand. So therefore, all of these literatures are very easily understood for most of the sadhakas. Just like Albert Einstein, he quotes that the test of what a person has understood is if he is able to explain the concept to his grandmother. If the grandmother is able to understand and you are able to explain it like that, then it is all right. But even Einstein sometimes would fail, because there was a transatlantic crossing and he was going from Israel by ship all the way to America, and the president of Israel was with him. you know, and at that time, he was explaining his theory of relativity to him. And when they reached America, the reporters asked the president of Israel, so, how was the conversation with Einstein? And the president said, at the end of the conversation, I understood that Albert Einstein has understood theory of relativity. Because he couldn't understand anything. So, Rupa Goswami, his specialty was, he expressed things of the highest tattva, but in a way and manner which was very, very simple and lucid. And Srila Prabhupada made it even more simple by presenting it in the form of his books. And therefore, these books of Srila Prabhupada are so very important. So, apart from the service, the third aspect of Srila Rupa Goswami's life which is most inspiring is his character. And it is described how the six Goswamis spend their life in Vrindavan. And in this same chapter in the end, Kaviraj Goswami describes what were the six Goswamis' activities in Vrindavan. So he says, Aniketa duhe vane yata yata jan eka eka brikshera tale ratri shoyan. That they were sleeping under a different tree every night. And they were simply taking just something very dry, whatever was available. And they were spending all of their time in simply the Lord's service and chanting of the Lord's holy names. And because their lifestyle was totally Krishna conscious, dedicated to Krishna, and although they were building so many big huge temples, but amongst them there was great love and affection, and they would come together and discuss Harikatha and Krishna Katha. And if you see that many times when money comes in between, assets come in between, relationships are spoiled. So Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami were very loving with each other even when they were highly opulent. They had money while serving Nawab Hussain Shah. And after renouncing, still now there was chance and possibility of conflict because one was making Radha Govinda Mandir, one was making Madan Mohan, so many big, big temples were being made. But they would still come together in Radha Damodar in that place near Rupa Goswami Samadhi, and they would come and simply discuss Harikatha. And this was the real mood of the Goswamis, that coming together simply in loving reciprocation to glorify Krishna. Therefore, this principle is very important to understand. And therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami, as far as his personal life is concerned, he was extremely simple and humble. And therefore his books, they carry so much of weight and meaning, because what he was writing, he was also living in his own life. So, this principle of personal character is very important. Just like one disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he is very famous in the Gaudiya Mutt, and there is this Saranga Gaudiya Mutt in Mamgachi, and many of us have gone in Yatra to this place. And there is one very old Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur disciple, his name is Jagat Bandhu Prabhu. And he is a brahmachari lifelong, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave him order, you just worship these deities all your life. And in deities of Gaur Gadadhar, you worship these deities all your life. That was the instruction he gave. So he just gave himself completely to the order of his spiritual master. And for 70 years he never left that place. 70 years he didn't go anywhere, just worship deities day and night. So the power of someone's character is determined by how he submits himself to the instructions of superiors, submissively and honestly. And one sannyasi was expressing his realization that they went to meet this devotee. When they went to Mamgachi, took darshan and they met Jagat Bandhu Prabhu. So he was telling them stories from his realization, from his experience in Mamgachi. And he was saying that he was so sick. One time he climbed up to get some fruits for the deities. And when he climbed on the tree, somehow, because he was sick, he couldn't hold himself and he fell down. And he broke his leg. And because he broke his leg, he could not go and fetch water for the deities from the Ganges. And then, in the morning, it was time for him to go and get water for the deities. In 60 years, he had never missed that service. But because his leg was broken, he couldn't go. And as he was sitting and lamenting, sitting near the deities, thinking, who will get water? How will we get water for the deities? He saw a group of monkeys coming with a bucket of water. And they brought this whole bucket of water and came and placed it near him and went away. And he said, the Lord reciprocates by sending help even when there is difficulty. And then one time, one monkey stole his Bhagavad Gita and ran away. And he went chasing the monkey with a stick. And he went there, he saw that monkey was sitting under a tree. And the monkey was holding the Gita in his hand. And there were a group of 50 monkeys sitting in front of him. Now this sannyasi was saying, now should I believe these stories or not? Should I put faith in these stories? Or I should think this is too fantastic to believe? But, because I see the character of this great soul, that how he has dedicated himself like this, completely without any ulterior motive, that although I have so much of skepticism, and my intellect is refusing to believe, but just by seeing his simplicity, purity and dedication, I have to overrule my intelligence and say, nay, what he is saying must be correct. That is the power of character. And therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami also, along with the other Goswamis, spent such years in tapasya, in Vrindavan Dham, that by the power of their austerities, their words are so much filled with potency, because whatever they did was simply on the instruction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, never to leave their service, but dedicating themselves completely to somehow fulfill Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire. So, this principle is so important. And another thing which somebody was mentioning the other day was, Rupa Goswami gave four things with respect to spiritual master. First is Guru Ashray, Guru Padashray. Second is Guru Diksha. Third is Guru Shiksha. And the fourth is Vishrambena Guru Seva. So the first principle is taking shelter of a spiritual master. Second is getting initiated by the spiritual master. Third is getting trained by the spiritual master. And fourth is Vishrambena Guru Seva, serving the spiritual master with love and affection. Out of the four, the first three is the result of causeless mercy of the spiritual master. He gives shelter. He takes responsibility of taking us back to Godhead, and he gives the training as his responsibility. So out of four, three is coming from his side. The disciple is expected to do only one thing. Vishramena Guru Seva. Serving the spiritual master with affection. That means dedicating oneself to fulfill the desires and instructions of Guru. So if one can do only this much, then he will have so much of benefit in his own spiritual life. So on this most auspicious day of the disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami, we pray at his lotus feet that we can also try to fulfill the desires of Srila Prabhupada and his representatives and be humble servants in this most glorious mission, purify ourselves and spread this message following the footsteps of all the great souls in the past. Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada ki, thy gop premanandi.